It's been a while. Let's recap. When I last left you in 2018, it was a dark time. Vance Joseph and Case Keenum had run the Broncos into the dirt. Nothing was working, and wins were scarce. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes were on their way to the AFC Championship game, which we know ended in heartbreaking fashion. Dee Ford was offsides, thus propelling Tom Brady to yet another Super Bowl championship. By the way, Tom Brady to Tampa? Say what? But I digress. 2019, John Elway turns to the old school defensive style of one Vic Fangio in an attempt to wipe the slate clean. But what's the plan at quarterback, you may ask? Well, in a world where all hope is lost, one man will only make it worse. Cue the emotionless and statuesque figure of a hollowed-out Joe Flacco. Don't get me wrong, he could still sling it. He just couldn't move and inspired zero confidence into his teammates with his stony demeanor. The quarterback debacle, along with some remaining hard feelings from a few veterans from the Super Bowl 50 team trying to run a rundown show, leads to another subpar 7-9 season. Meanwhile, the unthinkable has happened. Genie magic is in the air, as this year the Kansas City Chiefs do not falter, although it sure looked bad in that divisional game against Houston, am I right? No more Beatles jokes or talks of men landing on the moon. The Chiefs, riding the momentum of old man Reed and the comeback kid, win the big one. Patrick Mahomes, the wizard, has brought a championship to Kansas City after 50 years of drought. The tides had been turning for a while, Broncos fans. Ever since 18 hung up his cleats, Denver has been playing second fiddle to KC. But we still had our more recent successes, and most importantly, the Super Bowls to our name. The Chiefs were never more than a nuisance. The kid brother that you'd let score a bucket every now and then before posterizing them on the rim you had lowered to 7 feet in your driveway. But no more. While you were over here thinking it would last forever, your kid brother was getting better, had a growth spurt, and now you're the one playing catch-up. Time to face the cold reality that the division runs through KC. It would all seem very dire indeed, except, hidden away in the miseries of the 2018 and 2019 seasons, John Elway has perhaps kept the legend alive. With back-to-back great drafts, the Broncos are set up to rebound. But it all rests on the shoulders of one man. A 2019 second-round pick, University of Missouri quarterback, Drew Locke, emerges from the shadows. Locke is brought to you courtesy of Lee Summit, Missouri, the very city which this podcast is produced. After being buried on IR with a thumb injury and an ineffective Joe Flacco, Locke got his chance. Taking the reins of a team that was 2-7, Locke finished 5-2. And while it wasn't perfect, you can see his team believed. Hope blossoms, and the 2020 season brings an excitement to Broncos country that has been missing for years. Well, that is, unless coronavirus gets the season canceled. Shame on you, Corona. Now that we're all caught up on the state of the franchises, let's start the show. Welcome in to Behind Enemy Lines. Whether you're a brand new listener or you listened back in the day, we're back. I'm back. Thank you so much for being here. As you heard at the beginning of the show, recapped about a year and a half worth of stuff in 3 minutes. The big news, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions, and I just want to share my thoughts on that. As first a Broncos fan, but also as a person who lives in Kansas City and has lived in Kansas City my entire life. So my first reaction is I'm happy. I'm happy for the people of Kansas City. I think it was really great for the city. It's good to see it for my friends, my close friends that are realistic about football, for my family, my brothers, my mom, my dad, that have waited so long to see a championship brought home by the Chiefs. They finally did it. You know, people have always asked, well, why do you hate the Chiefs? Well, and my answer to that has always been, I don't hate the Chiefs. I'm just a Broncos fan, which most people just automatically assume, well, you have to hate the Chiefs if you're a Broncos fan. Well, I think that's more of a, you know, more of a Denver thing. You hate the people in your division. Obviously, we all hit the Raiders. The Chargers are just the Chargers. But there is that rivalry between the Broncos and Chiefs. However, the way that I've always seen it, at least for most of my life, it's been a rivalry, but it's been a rivalry that the Broncos have owned. And like I talked about at the top of the show, it's been more of that like kid brother relationship where more times than not, the Broncos are beating the Chiefs. They've always kind of lived in the shadow of the Chiefs have lived in the shadow of the Broncos. And obviously this tide has been turning for a while. Even during some of the Alex Smith days, the Chiefs were better than the Broncos. And obviously they have been for a while now. So the more that the Chiefs keep beating down on us, my answer to that might change. Maybe I will start to hate the Chiefs because they have owned us and now they've got the big one under their belts. So I don't have to feel sorry for them anymore. Patrick Mahomes did it. I give that guy more credit than anyone else, really. Obviously, I think Andy Reid's a great coach, but I don't think Kansas City's winning a Super Bowl, not with Alex Smith, not really even probably with anyone else. Patrick Mahomes is the reason, and I'm scared to play him for the next 20 years. That being said, there is hope on the horizon for the Broncos. I'm looking forward to 2020. And again, happy for the Chiefs, happy for Kansas City. But no more. Don't need to hear it. Don't need to see it. They've got their win. They've got their Super Bowl. They can go back where they came from for all I care. But it's a new day dawning. We'll try and get a Chiefs fan perspective here in just a little bit. See if we can get Travis on the phone. All right. We're back. I've got him on the phone. It's Travis Hudson. Thanks for joining me today, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's all, as always, it's a good time to be a Chiefs fan now that we are Super Bowl champions.
Indeed. We are about a month removed from actually almost 2 months. I guess 2 months coming up since the Chiefs brought home the Lombardi. And hey, how's the quarantine going though?
It's going. I think that maybe has something to do with why time is going slower. As you thought, it'd only been 1 month, but it's been two. Right. Everything is slowing down.
Yeah.
I'm currently working from home, while my 2-year-old is also here with us. So we're rotating back and forth between my wife and I. And
I didn't even think of it. I guess all the daycares are probably not.
Well, they're open, but since we're both able to work from home, we just figure it's best to not spread it, not pick it up, and just have her here. But yeah, it's actually a lot harder to work from home. As it turns out, it's a lot harder to work when you have a 2-year-old raging around.
Who would have thought? Well, I totally understand that. Sounds like you're doing the responsible thing. We're all trying to do our part. Everybody stay home. Don't go out if you don't have to. All that stuff. You know it. But anyways, good to have you on, man. So I was just talking to the listeners, kind of bringing them up to speed. It's been a long time since we've talked. But obviously the biggest thing that has happened since we've been on is the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. So I just wanted to talk to you as a fan who's been with them the entirety of your life. Basically, you're the same age as me, and just what, from your perspective, just what this ride has been like and what this means to you.
Well, really, I've always just kind of leaned into the suffering that the Chiefs have provided for the fan base, because it's really, you can't complain about it, because you know that's the nature of sports. Teams are going to lose. Your favorite team isn't always going to win, and sometimes they're never going to win. And when it counts the most, so there's going back basically to when right after I was born, there's just been some oddly, almost like weird juju around the Chiefs in the playoffs. There's been missed field goals, like all kinds of weird stuff, that like games that we should have won that we blew for whatever, for various different reasons. But the one that stuck out the most was that one with the Colts.
Sure.
So
the fumble risky.
That is, to me, that's the definitive game that basically encapsulates what it's been like to be a Chiefs fan outside of the Patrick Mahomes era.
Right.
That game, we lost, you know, Jamal Charles goes out like on the first drive after a couple really good plays, hit his head on the turf, and they put him into the concussion protocol, and he didn't get to come back. There was a ton of other injuries in that game too, but the biggest thing was the fumble. You know, Andrew Luck hands it off. I think it was Donald Brown, fumbles on the goal line, and if the Chiefs pick that up right there, the game really, I mean, I guess it's not over. That doesn't end it, but he fumbles it and just goes right into Luck's hands and he jumps right into the end zone. It's like, that's the moment that, to me, I was like, oh my gosh, we're losing. We're still winning by one or two possessions at that point. But it's like that monkey on our back. It's like when you realize, like, wow, we're going to blow one of the biggest playoff leads ever and lose this game. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But so there's been a lot of torment. And then obviously when Andy Reid came to the Chiefs, that provided a lot of hope because he had a lot of success in Philly. But that was the year that the Chiefs had the number one pick. And I can vividly remember being so against taking an offensive lineman in that pick, which turns out to be one of the worst draft classes ever.
You look there.
And that's, of course, because why could the Chiefs get the number one overall pick when Andrew Luck was there, or a Cam Newton, or a Michael Vick, or, you know, a franchise quarterback that we've not had? Oh, and we haven't even drafted one in the first round since 1983. So, of course, the year that we have that opportunity to do that,
there's nothing.
There's nobody there, and not anybody even. No. We got the guy that we got ends up, he's okay, but he's nowhere near number one overall pick. But
sure.
So I remember thinking Geno Smith was our guy.
Geno. It'd been a sad day too.
Yeah, I mean, there would have been a lot of sad days. That's when, so then they bring in Alex Smith, and at first, you know, you're thinking that's we got subscribed to the idea that drafting a quarterback wasn't the right move there, and turns out that was right. But really, Alex Smith did come in and totally turn us around there and turned us into an actual winning team. You know, we would consistently make the playoffs. But then at some point, we all just realized we're never going to make the leap. We're never going to become a team that other teams are afraid of. And that all changed, obviously, when we made the move to get
right. Mahomes. So, and because I remember this was before the Super Bowl. It might have been even after the playoff loss last year. I remember you asked me, Logan, I'm serious here. How many rings do you think he's going to get? And so just talk about how, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He didn't have one yet. And so just talk about how, as a fan, what's the difference? Because what made you feel differently even after the loss to the pick? Because like you said, you've had like this long run of playoff bad luck, and then you have some more with the guy that, you know, you do know is your franchise quarterback and is great, and you still drop that AFC championship game in a heartbreaking fashion. What gave you the confidence that we're still going to be okay?
Well, one thing is we all knew that Tom Brady wasn't going to be around forever. and neither will Bill Belichick. But I don't know. Maybe he's got some kind of fountain of youth that he has sold his soul in order to attain. But no, so the difference to me is that, you know, there were a ton of things that little things in that game that had they gone differently, the Chiefs would have gone to that Super Bowl. And not to mention the fact that that was his first year as a starter. Sure. So if the entry level is inches away from the winning the AFC championship at home after an MVP season, the possibility, the ceiling is exponential. There's no, I really truly do believe he's on a trajectory that could end up with us debating whether or not he's the greatest player ever. And not even in football. Like he is potentially on the level that people talk about Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Like he's that dominant of an athlete, and he can make up for so many deficiencies around him that I think it depends on how long he and Andy Reid can stay together, because they both separate, they're obviously both going to be successful, I think, but together they become one of the great. There's no reason to think that they can't do the same thing that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady did. It's going to look a lot different, but the possibilities are limitless. Yeah.
So, you know, and I just, from the outside, look, I don't disagree with you from a talent perspective. Just watch, there's just something different about the guy and how frustrating, especially just watching some of those games against the Browns where you think you just got the perfect, like, either defensive play to shut him down or something, you know, like, there's just no reason for that third and long or fourth and long to get picked up, and it does. And it's crazy, but. And obviously, you know, this my pushback on that is simply that it, like you said, that like those bad luck thing, like just little things in each game, and it's just really, really hard to win a Super Bowl, as you know, and the Chiefs did it. The anomaly that was the New England Patriots, I don't know that we'll ever see it again. But I would say that if there's a team right now that, you know, could do it, then like, yeah, I think you are probably looking at Mahomes and Reed.
Right. My argument is not that they're going to do it. It's just that it's very, very possible. There's even if you go the injuries this year,
yeah,
Mahomes had multiple, I think he had three different injuries, had the ankle to start the season. And then obviously the knee getting discombobulated. And then he also injured his finger on his throwing hand against the Patriots in the regular season. So it's stuff like that that, you know, what if the next time something happens to his knee, some fluke thing happens on a quarterback sneak or something, you know, that could have ended his season. That could have just easily ended the season this year, and who knows if those players are ever going to, like, we're seeing the Super Bowl effect with a lot of the players returning to the Chiefs because they want to repeat it. But if they never get that Super Bowl this year, how many of those players jump and go try to get as much money as they can? And do we ever put, you know, it's fully reasonable to say that we might never have won a Super Bowl if we didn't win this year.
Definitely. So, I mean, talk a little bit more about that, because one of the things that I've seen is with these Super Bowl teams is a lot of times that these guys go other places to get more money because this is their chance, because, you know, they were on a Super Bowl team and they played well, that kind of thing. But I think it's maybe just a little different. It happened to the Broncos after Super Bowl 50. But at that point, Manning was pretty old, and obviously it was, you know, he was getting ready to hang it up, that kind of thing. So do you think guys are coming back just for that chance of winning, just be, you know, because that Mahomes is the focal point, and these guys aren't like, it's kind of, he's what makes them great, you know, as a team, where these guys aren't necessarily, couldn't necessarily go to other teams to make big money, or.
Yeah, I think you hit it perfectly with Manning. Everybody almost knew before he even left that field, celebrating the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody kind of knew that he was done. And I'm sure all of the players kind of could sense that. And they said, well, this is a way for me to go somewhere else and basically set the rest of my career by making as much money as I possibly can. Because it's not like returning to the Broncos gave them at that point a better chance to win another Super Bowl. So if they're not going to be playing on a team, if they're not going to be taking less money to have a shot at the Super Bowl, basically the idea is to go out and maximize your earnings. And you'll see that a little bit. Like, we saw Kendall Fuller go back to the Redskins, ironically.
Ooh, yeah, that's definition.
And there's been, there. There's been some players leave. but with the, and this news just came out last night with DeMarcus Robinson returning. I didn't think there was a chance at all that he would be coming back to Kansas City. I thought for sure he was going to get a similar contract to what Chris Conley got when he left. I thought it was almost identical. He actually, I think DeMarcus Robinson actually did a little bit more in his time here. Kind of had those couple of games where he'd blow up. So I really thought somebody was going to pay him, but he comes back to the Chiefs on a, it's only a 1 year deal, but it's super team friendly.
Yeah.
And Mike Pinnell, they're getting some guys that are wanting to return. And I can't, I would say if I were in that scenario as well, it's like, why go anywhere else? If you're focused on winning. And I think the coaching also plays a role in that, both offensively and defensively, because if you're an offensive player, you're getting to play with Mahomes, you're getting to play for Andy Reid, one of the greatest play callers ever, and you've got this quarterback that is just taking over the league. And on the defense, you saw the transformation from being a total liability of the team to, there were times in the playoffs that the defense were the main reason that the Chiefs were able to make those comebacks that they had to make in all three playoff games this year. And I think that culture being turned around so quickly and what the defense has going, I think everybody is just kind of looking at this like, if they can get a reasonable amount of money from the Chiefs, then there's really a great setup over the next couple of years.
Makes sense. It does make sense. I also think the market is a little weird right now just because of everything that's going on. We brought a couple guys back that I didn't think we were going to be able to re-sign. But yeah, it's, I totally.
Yeah. You sense. Also have to, I have to wonder if, are any of these players potentially considering the fact that there might not be an off season at all. There might be like, no OTAs, no, I mean, training camp might even be restricted.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be some idea of, well, do I really want to go to another team and have to learn a whole new system when I don't even know if I'm going to get to look at the system before the preseason starts? Like, so almost, it's almost like just staying with what's comfortable for a 1 year deal, for a short term deal. Maybe that's a little bit more safer than, say, going and taking a contract if you're not going to get a long-term mega deal somewhere else. These little shorter deals, it makes more sense to stay where you're at and stay with what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen some weird things, and it's strange times, but well, I appreciate you being on the show. I kind of talked about it at the top of the show, just how that the Chiefs won that it was good for the city, you know, and that I live here, and Are you still there, man? Oh, okay. Yep. All right. Yep. Sorry, guys. Thought we had
Can you hear me?
Disconnect there, but he's still here. So I was saying that it was good for the city, and I was glad that my close friends that are realistic about football and my family got to experience that. There is record. I was in a Chiefs jersey in Travis's basement, an Eric Berry jersey, I believe. So it was good. But that's it. I don't need any more of that. I have no more feeling sorry for the Chiefs as a Broncos fan. That is over. And the time to clash is now, because we might have a quarterback too. Maybe.
All right, guys, that last bit of conversation that I had there with Travis got cut off. Not really any content, just saying our goodbyes. But anyway, shout out to him. Thank him for coming on. You can give him a follow on Twitter. It's at @whoa_bro15. It's @whoa_bro15. And for cheap, it'd be a good follow for Chiefs fans and general comedy and mayhem. So thanks again, Travis, for coming on.
All right, guys, I am back. We're talking Denver Broncos football for 2020. We'll just kind of address the state of the franchise, where we're at from my perspective. We'll go start with the quarterback position, work our way through the rest of free agency and kind of where we're at on both sides of the ball. And obviously the place to start is at quarterback. And what you have is a second-year guy in Drew Lock, who got some experience. 5 games last year, went 4-1. Pretty solid, 65% completion percentage. And that kind of went down because of that KC game in the blizzard, and 45% there against the eventual Super Bowl champions. So I'm not going to hold that against him too much. But fairly accurate, had a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio, which you're going to take all day from pretty much any quarterback, let alone a rookie, threw for 1,000 yards, put some stuff on tape. That makes me just think that he's a real quarterback. He can sling it. He can move. He's got the moxie. He's got the leadership. I think the guys are looking up to him, and he's going to be in a system this year that I think will fit his skill set better than Rich Scangarello's offense last year with Pat Shurmur coming in. And that's a little bit of a concern, obviously, changing systems, changing offenses from year one to year two. But I'm sure he's probably already getting on it. Worked really hard last year to get on the field and did well. So the great thing about this is Denver may have finally found their quarterback. If he's the guy, that's going to make all the difference. For one thing, he's young and still on his rookie deal, obviously. So that's going to give us a cost-controlled quarterback where we can focus that money on other aspects of the team, the defense side of the ball, our skill position guys, the offensive line. So we're not pouring as much money in. We cut Joe Flacco. Thank goodness, freed up some money there. So, and you know what? I should say more about Joe Flacco's time in Denver. You know what? Never mind. I'm just going to leave it right at that. Joe Flacco's gone. Didn't need him. Good riddance. Thanks for your time, Joe. You were very bad. So there are brighter times ahead. So let's go ahead and take a look at the offense. So at left tackle, your offensive line, which was an issue last year, for sure. You got to get better there. Left tackle is still going to be Garrett Bowles. Now, he did play better as the year went on. But obviously there is room for improvement either from him or with someone else coming in. And if the right person was there in the draft, I think the Broncos would not think twice about taking
a left tackle. Unfortunately, I think the big name left tackles are going to be gone by 15 unless the Broncos want to trade up, which I don't think they would, because in that case, I think they're just waiting on a receiver. So Garrett Bowles presumably still at left tackle. Left guard, you've got Dalton Reisner locking that down, who was a great pick by John Elway last year, the pick right before Drew Locke. Center, you're losing Connor McGovern, but you did just sign Graham Glasgow, who's a very solid, probably the top, one of the top offensive linemen free agents that the Broncos landed, that can play center if needed, but he will probably play right guard. And I would assume the Broncos will draft a center later in the draft. Right tackle is a question mark, but you've got Juwan James, who you paid the big money to from Miami, who's presumably going to be healthy and will play. So a question mark, but you're hoping that he's going to fill in that hole that they had last year and play well and not be hurt. Otherwise, we did sign our backup right tackle, or swing tackle, I should say, Elijah Wilkinson, who isn't horrible, but obviously is not starting caliber to a deal. So he'll be there in case of emergency. So assuming we draft a center, the line is already looking better in terms of the presumed starters from last year to this year. At tight end, you've got Noah Fant, who had a great rookie season as far as tight ends go. It's really hard to be effective as a rookie tight end. History says that. Noah Fant did lead all rookie tight ends in receiving yards. TJ Hawkinson got hurt for the Lions, so Noah Fant got them in the bag pretty easy. He did flash with some big play potential, especially with Locke in the lineup. I think that they're going to be a really good pair moving forward. Really like Noah Fant. We also signed Nick Vanette, free agent tight end, who's going to be more of our blocker inside, kind of tight end in the run game. In the backfield, we have newly signed Melvin Gordon, fresh from the Chargers. Got him on a two-year deal. Melvin Gordon played the game and lost in terms of the money that he wanted from the Chargers. He really didn't end up getting from anyone, but decided to stay in the division so he could stick it to the Chargers. I really, really like the signing. Maybe some Broncos fans don't, because they think it's disrespectful to Philip Lindsay, who is a great running back. I just don't think you can have too many great running backs, and it's great to have depth. You just never know who's going to get hurt. I think both guys complement each other's styles really well, and hopefully we find a way to use them both effectively, and I think Pat Shurmur can do that. So I think that Royce Freeman will be there still, kind of a depth running back, but I think that Melvin Gordon's going to be used more in the passing game and take Freeman's role there. But you've got two Pro Bowl running backs, Pro Bowl talent running backs at least, in your backfield, and that's great to have. So you're already looking better at running back. At receiver, obviously you've got Cortland Sutton, who's coming off a Pro Bowl year. He's a wide receiver one through and through, makes big plays, great hands, acrobatic catches. He's just a playmaker, and you love to see it. So you got two big playmakers in Sutton and Fant. Right now at receiver, you're still looking at, you've got Deshaun Hamilton, who's probably going to be the slot guy. Did start showing some rapport with Drew Locke at the end of the year after doing pretty much nothing at all. So it was good to see that, but they're almost assuredly going to draft somebody, which is super exciting. There's some great wide receivers out there, whether it be CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or Henry Ruggs. All of those are great options. Personally, I would be ecstatic if they were able to land Henry Ruggs just with that speed. Would be a perfect complement to, I think, what Courtland Sutton brings. And Drew Lock would be working with some stacked skill position players when you're talking Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, Courtland Sutton, Noah Fant, and Henry Ruggs, potentially all on the field at the same time. Or, you know, probably just one of those backs, I guess, with the rest of those guys. That would be tough to stop if the quarterback play is competent or above average even. So super excited to see what the Broncos do in the draft. Looking for offensive line and receiver, probably in those early rounds. On the defensive side of the ball, which was good pretty much all year under Vic Fangio. Again, look back, the team went 7-9, or even in those early games, though, there were some heartbreak losses. For example, that Bears game with the penalty on Bradley Chubb, on Mitch Trubisky that ended up getting them in field goal range. It was a phantom penalty. Got them in field goal range at the very end of the game where they kicked the game-winning field goal. And that happened. Stuff like that happened to the Broncos a couple different times last year, just unable to close out games that they very well could have won. But that defense was good. And with the signings that they've made, probably going to be just as good, if not better, this year. So on that defensive line, you are bringing back Shelby Harris. Actually announced today that we signed him. He had a career year last year with 6 sacks. Tested the open market. Apparently there wasn't a great market for him, which I am incredibly surprised for. So the Broncos are bringing him back on a 1-year prove it deal. Super cheap, I think $2.5 million. So that's a crazy good signing. Derek Wolfe is still out there as a free agent. So, I mean, who knows if you could bring him, and he had a great year last year too. So bringing him back cheap would be huge as well. But we'll see about that. So you've got Shelby Harris probably will be playing, I would imagine, more defensive end in that 3-4. Whereas you trade for Jarrell Casey, the big man defensive tackle from the Titans, who is a Pro Bowler, coming off kind of a down year, but apparently was maybe playing hurt a little bit with that shoulder. But for a 7th round pick, that's easy, an easy decision to make, and I love the move. So he'll be that our nose tackle. And then we've also got for our linebackers, obviously Von Miller coming back, Bradley Chubb coming back from injury, rushing off the other side. We also re-signed Jeremiah Atashu as depth for that outside linebacker rushing position. We also re-signed Mike Purcell, who is also a big run-stuffing nose tackle that you'll probably see more on running downs. I don't know if you'll be getting him and Jarrell Casey in the game at the same time, but that would be pretty cool to see as well. Maybe Casey moves to the other defensive end position occasionally while Purcell's in there. So yeah, remember that this defense was without Bradley Chubb for most of the year with that torn ACL, so sounds like rehab's going well, and if he is back, that brings a whole different element of pass rush to the Broncos. Von Miller is not getting any younger. He can still rush the passer. He can still be disruptive, but he's obviously not getting nearly as many sacks as he did, and having Chubb there will take some pressure off of him. At linebacker, you had Alexander Johnson, who came on super strong. And played really well out of nowhere for us. So he's going to be one of the starting linebackers. And then Todd Davis is still back as well, who is getting a little older, maybe slowing down a little bit. So I would not put it past the Broncos to look to upgrade that position maybe in the draft as well. Now we get to the secondary, where the Broncos now have a ton of money tied up as they just franchise tagged Justin Simmons, Pro Bowl safety. Pro Bowl snub, I should say, Pro Bowl caliber safety. And he's coming off a career year. Obviously, Elway made a priority that we were either going to bring him back on a long-term deal or tag him, and that the goal is still to have a long-term deal with him. Kareem Jackson, who is older but plays with his hair on fire and was really good for us last year, is our other safety. So safety tandem is locked down. And then at corner, we have newly acquired A.J. Bouye from the Jaguars. So he is the replacement for Chris Harris Jr., which I won't get too much into that, but best of luck, Chris Harris, in San Diego, or I'm sorry, wherever they are now, Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chargers. Get Chris on a two-year deal. Their defense will be better because of that. Still think you could have stayed here, Chris, and probably even made more had you accepted the deal earlier last year, but I digress. So Bouye will be on the outside. We'll probably be looking to upgrade at corner. We do have Bryce Callahan coming back, who was injured with a foot all last year, and was expected to be a major part of that defense. He's more of a slot corner, though, which that's kind of what Chris Harris was. So you got Bouye on the outside, coming off a down year, but I think will be a better fit in Vic Fangio's system. And I think that he will play well for us. Callahan in the slot, if he's healthy, is certainly an upgrade, because Chris Harris was playing outside a lot last year. And then also at corner, we've got Isaac Yiadom, who you probably don't feel great about, but does have some experience now and a serviceable. You can plug him in there. And also bringing back cornerback Devontae Bosby on a one-year deal, who actually, when he was playing last year, or got in because Isaac Yiadom was struggling, he played extremely well and was kind of under the radar. I think Vic Fangio really likes him, and then had that bad, scary neck injury, which ended up having him miss the rest of the year, which was really unfortunate. So when you look at it from the standpoint of A.J. Bouye locking down the one, Callahan in the slot, and then presumably Devontae Bosby as that third corner on the outside, if he can play like he was playing, then you're looking pretty good as far as the corners. Now, there's a lot of what ifs, a lot of injury stuff, and injuries can derail any team, but just looking at it on paper, the Broncos' roster looks much more solid this year going into 2020, and that's even before the draft. And as I've said, John Elway's last two drafts have been pretty darn good. So I'm looking forward to that this year. A couple other notes, I guess, that's fair to bring up is the changes that are coming to the NFL. They did pass the new CBA. We're going to be going to a 17 game season, which I guess is great for the NFL fan, maybe not so great for the players. Everyone's going to have their opinions on that, but that's not going to be this year. However, they are going to start this year doing an extra playoff team from each conference. So instead of six teams from each conference, you're going to get seven. which I think is a fun little wrinkle. I like it, and I also like it from the opportunity for at least where the Broncos are going to be, as most likely not winning that division for a while with Mahomes still there and them returning a lot of their players. Probably I do anticipate the Broncos being better than the Raiders and Chargers. However, not winning the division, you're going to have to get into a wild card, and with a third wild card spot opening up, I think that that does bode well for the Broncos and their chances. Again, they went 7-9 this year with a lot of bad luck and a lot of quarterback turmoil. I just don't see any reason why they don't at least go, 9-7, essentially. It would be kind of a worst case scenario, I think, with how much hype and excitement that this team is going to generate. And if they do go 9-7 or worse, I think that you're probably going to be looking at quarterback. I think it's all going to come down to the quarterback play, because I think there's going to be a lot of good pieces around him. So we'll come back on the other side of this break and wrap things up. But that is the position by position breakdown of the Broncos headed into 2020. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Behind Enemy Lines. Join me next week. We'll do a way too early record prediction for the Broncos, maybe the Chiefs as well. That'd be pretty boring, but we'll definitely do it for the Broncos. We'll look at each team that they're going to play, home and away. Don't have the full schedule yet, obviously, but we do have our opponents, so we can break that down. So come back next week, listen to that, and thanks for tuning in. Take it easy.